Hello and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. Because we were closed due to snow on December 9th and enjoyed our choir cantata last Sunday, please enjoy this sermon from Pastor Tricia from last year's Advent season.
So I wondered today what it would be like if I came dressed like John the Baptist in a camel hair tunic with a belt and maybe some boots and some big earrings. Wouldn't that be fun? Maybe not. And what if I did a call to worship where I called you all a bunch of snakes or you brood of vipers? That would be interesting too, right? But this is where we start today with John the Baptist, dressed in some pretty interesting clothes, and he's got some pretty gritty stuff to say. And he's not just saying it to anyone, he's saying it to religious leaders like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's calling them out and he's saying, "You're a bunch of snakes." He is letting them know that just because they are the sons of Abraham, that they don't get a free pass and that this means nothing at all. And here they came along thinking they were pretty perfect. They had chaired the parish stewardship committee. Kara, they probably served on the PNC. They, like Rita this morning who left, taught Sunday school every week. They mowed the church lawn. They even got their pledge card in on time. I didn't even do that. They even went on the youth mission trip, but John the Baptist says absolutely none of that matters. Even the stones on this ground could take your place. Listen to what he says in the Message version of the scripture. "You brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as your father. Being an Abraham of descendant is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and is it blooming? Because if it is dead wood, it goes on the fire." There they thought they were in with God just because of the way they were brought up, their genes and being children of Abraham. They thought because of that, that they were good enough to get a free pass. Many of you probably remember the story about Walmart a few years ago on that Black Friday where we open up our newspaper and we have a stack about this thick. Those of you that got your Sunday paper this morning probably remember that. Great deals of plasma TVs for only $800. All the men's clothes are half off. Great deals of advertisements. So people stand in line all night Thursday night in the cold, and they stood at this particular Walmart, and they waited for the doors to open. It was about 2,000 people in line. And then as the doors started to open, they cracked open a little bit. For some reason, they stopped. And so the crowd pressed against the doors. On the other side of the door was the ever-famous Walmart greeter. And there he stood as the crowd pressed on the doors, and the doors didn't open, but they fell directly in and they fell directly on the Walmart greeter. Now we know what country we live in, and let's just imagine out of those 2,000 people, let's just say 3/4 of them were Christians. 1,500 people were Christians. Do you want to know how many people stopped to help the man that the doors fell on? 3 people. 3 people stopped to help him. Only 3 out of 2,000 people. What John says to you and me this morning is that I want you to do more than just believe in Jesus. I want you to bear the fruit of that, to give lives that reflect the love of Christ. And this is what the whole gestalt of the Matthew's book talks to us about, this gospel. And our scripture today reminds us that just because we call ourselves Christians or we come to church, we know this. We are under no favor. We shouldn't think that we've earned God's favor. Or better yet, I shouldn't think that just because I'm a minister, I've got God in my pocket. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The voice of one crying in the wilderness says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. A great theologian named Fred Craddock, who's also a minister and well known to us clergy as one of the great preachers, and I didn't know he went to Vanderbilt, so he's a fellow alum with me, has a powerful story about what it means to repent. Listen to what he says. He says, I was in graduate school at Vanderbilt. I had left the family and the children in the little parish I served and moved into a little room to get ready for those exams. It was a make it or break it time. It can kill you. Yes, it can, I remember. I would go every night about 11:30 or 12 to a little all-night diner, no tables, just little stools, and I would have a grilled cheese and a cup of coffee to take a break from my studies. It was the same every night. The fellow behind the counter at the grill knew when I walked in to prepare my grilled cheese and my coffee. He'd give me a refill and sometimes come again to give me another refill. I joined the men of the night there hovering over our coffee, and I was pondering over all of those questions on my exam about the New Testament. And then I noticed a man who was there when I went in, a man that no one had waited on. I had been waited on. I'd even had a refill, and so had others. And then finally, the man behind the counter went to the man at the end of the counter and said, what do you want? The African-American, old gray-haired black man responded back. And whatever he said, the man went and scooped up a pretty little stack of hamburger meat and placed it on the grill with some bread, but no condiments and only a napkin. And then the cook handed it to the man, who gave him some money, and then went out the side door by the garbage can and out on the street. He sat on the curb with the 18-wheelers of the night, with the salt and pepper from the counter, and ate his sandwich there. I didn't say anything. I didn't reprimand. I didn't protest. I didn't witness to the cook. I did not go out and sit beside the man on the curb. I didn't do anything. I was thinking about all of the New Testament questions that I was studying. All the questions in my head as I left that little place to resume my studies. And as I walked up to the hill, back to my room, off in the distance, I heard a cock crow. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make room for Jesus in your life and get ready to repent and name that you need God. In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George has now finally seen what life would have been like if he had never been born. He realizes the difference he's made. He realizes all the people who love him and all the people that he loves that he took for granted. He wants God back in his life. He's humble enough to name it, and he calls out for it.
Clarence! Clarence! Help me, Clarence! Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again. I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again.
Hey, George!
George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
You... George. Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's pedals! Zuzu... There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
The earliest of Christians did not yet call themselves Christians. That term had not even been created yet. Instead, the earliest Christians called themselves followers of the way. So when Jesus looked at them and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me, he was saying to them, I am the way that you are meant to follow. I am the truth that you are meant to hear. I am the life and the example that has been set before you on how to live. And no one knows the Father unless they know me and my teachings. John the Baptist has acutely reminded me this morning that I am not only to hear Jesus' words, and I am not only to call myself a Christian, but I am to act as one, to live as one, and to be one. As we prepare for the coming kingdom, we come by being obedient to Christ. And John the Baptist sums it up in one little simple word to us. He says simply, repent. Turn around and make your life anew. Be willing to call out in the darkness like George, God, I do need you in my life. I do want you to be here. And John says one thing more. And don't forget, my friends, he says, to follow that up by bearing a little fruit that looks like Christ. If you know the rest of the Walmart story, you know that even with the help of three people, that young man died at the hospital later that night. Three people did stop. Three people did repent and turn and said, what is bigger than any deal on the other side of this door is that I am to be the light of Christ in this world. May it be that we can be the light of Christ and continue to bear fruit that shows that we are followers of the way.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.